again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, we say it sincerely. It's just good to be here. I see a few faces I haven't seen for a while between some faces, but I see Jen, and if I recognize that one beside you, is that Mom? That Carmelita? Wow, good to see you. And McKinley. So good to see you. Always, always, always. And everyone else. Good to see you too. Title of the lesson is part from the story that was just read to us about God appearing to Moses in the form of a burning bush and saying, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let my people go. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 20 gives the title for the lesson this morning, where it says, Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a beast, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So I titled the lesson, The Rod of God. And the lesson will be in two parts. I'm just going to cover the story of Moses in the lesson this morning. And I'll give you six more Old Testament stories next week about you need to use what you have in your hand. So just half the outline today. But the rod of God that Moses had in his hand resulted from something that happened earlier. Now God has called Moses to go to Egypt, go before Pharaoh, and say, let my people go. One of the first things Moses does is offers an excuse. Or lots of excuses. But he says, I'm not sure I can do that, God. So here are some of the excuses that Moses gives. In Exodus 3, verse 11, Moses said to God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God says almost to Moses, Moses, it doesn't matter because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. The lesson when we think about these excuses that Moses gives to God is when we have commands in the Bible for us to behave a certain way or conduct ourselves in a certain manner, sometimes the first thing we want to do is offer an excuse. I can't do that. So that's what Moses does, and the first excuse that he gives is, Who am I? Wow, that's a pretty big task, but God said, I'm with you. I'm with you in this. Second excuse is in Exodus 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, they're going to say to me, What's his name? What shall I say? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, This you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Who gave us our marching orders? The I am did. God did. So Moses has a third excuse. God almost got, I'm not finished yet. In Exodus 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, Oh, behold, they'll not believe me. They're not going to hearken or hear my voice. They'll say, The Lord didn't appear to you. So the answer was in verse 8, It'll come to pass if they will not believe you, nor hearken to the voice or listen to the voice of the first sign, they'll believe the voice of the second sign. Well, what signs? Well, God convinces Moses that he's with him. We're going to get to this point in the lesson. Moses, cast your rod on the ground. It becomes a serpent. Pick it up. It becomes a rod. Moses, put your hand in your vest. Take it out. It's leprous. Put it back in. Take it out. It's restored. Oh, that's right. So Moses, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm the I am. I'm going to give you testimony, signs, wonders. Moses still has another one. It says in Exodus 4, verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. slow of speech, slow of tongue? And the answer was in verse 12, now therefore go, I'll be with your mouth. I will teach you what you shall say. Wow. So Moses is trying to say to God, you know, I'm not ready for this command or this call or this task. I've given four excuses, but God's not going to hear it. Moses, I've called you to do this. Now go. Go before Pharaoh. It's after that third excuse that Moses gave that God convinces Moses that he's the one for the job. He did try once more with that fourth excuse. But in Exodus 4, verse 2, back to that third excuse, Lord said to him, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, a rod. You know what a rod was back then? It was a staff, shepherd's crook, ordinary, common rod. Every shepherd had one. It was something that Moses had already. Moses, what do you have in your hand? And God, in essence, saying, I'm going to use what you already have. It's in your hand. And so God said in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 4, cast it on the ground. That's an important statement. One of the most important things to happen in Moses' life is that simple act of obedience. God said it, and Moses did it. What do you have in your hand? What do you have already? Cast it on the ground. All right. You see, too often we miss the big things because they appear to be so little. There'll be plenty of time in Moses' life, as you know, to do what we might think of as, well, big things. But right now, Moses, the only thing I want you to do is take what you have in your hand and cast it on the ground. That's all. In verse 3, so Moses does that, it became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. Put in your notes, I'd do the same thing. I don't know what that snake looked like or how big it was or anything else, but it doesn't have to be very big. It's a serpent. Then the Lord said to Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. Oh, man. I'm running. Moses, stick around and pick it up. So he put forth his hand, he caught it, and became a rod in his hand. See, Moses' reaction is sometimes typical of our reaction. We want to first begin to offer excuses. I can't do that. That's your command, God. That's the task you have for me. But Moses, all I want you to do right now, look what you have in your hand. Cast it on the ground. That's it. He obeys. And God accomplishes his purpose. So the lesson this morning is going to establish the lesson for today's and next Lord's Day's lesson, Lord willing. To ask the question, what's that in your hand? What's that in your hand? And right here in today, this morning, most of us know what's in our hand. You know what your talent is. You know what your ability is. I'm going to look around at somebody else's, think, this is my talent, my ability. And when we're called by God's word, we're called by the gospel, we become a Christian, God wants to put us in his service. He wants to take what we already have in our hand. It could be something common, it could be something ordinary. But that first simple command, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Cast it on the ground. All right. You can do that. God's not asking us to do what we're not capable of. Moses, what do you have? Cast it on the ground. Well, I can do that. That's easy enough. He's only asking us to use what we have. God commanded Moses, cast it down. You know, a little later, I know, Moses, you're going to do even bigger, greater things. But right now, at this moment, what do you have in your hand? What's your talent? What's your ability? What's your opportunity? Right now. Use it. Use it. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, it says, For if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has, and not according to what he has not. Paul said in Romans 14, verse 12, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm not accountable for what you have in your hand. I'm accountable to what I have in my hand. I know I can learn new tasks over the course of time. But right now, this moment, this morning, what do I have in my hand that I can use and put to use in God's service? What's my talent? What's my opportunity? What's my ability? In Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, God told Moses, you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. So before this story of Moses finishes, the rod, which is ordinary, will by the touch of God accomplish many things. Number one. Now I'm going to read these stories to you. First one is Moses used that rod of God to usher in the plagues. And you have these in your notes, the scripture reference. Exodus chapter 7. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. God said, go to Pharaoh in the morning. When he goes out to the water, you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod, wait a minute, the rod, which you have with you, Moses. And the rod which was turned into a serpent, you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, Pharaoh, you haven't heard. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I'm the Lord. Behold, I'll strike the waters which are in the river with the rod which is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink. The Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, over their pools of water, that they may become blood. There shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so. Just as the Lord commanded, so he lifted up the rod. What do you have in your hand? So he lifted up the rod, struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Moses, what else are you going to use that rod for? In Exodus chapter 14, after the last plague, they begin to make their exodus out of Egypt. And if you know the story, after they make their exodus out of the land, they come to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his army now begin to chase them. So in Exodus 14, beginning of verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army. overtook them camping by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to God. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the wilderness." Oh. Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. He's going to accomplish this for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod." Moses, what do you have in your hand? "Lift up your rod. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Verse 21. So then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And you know the rest of the story. They cross safely. And then when Pharaoh and his army get into the midst, the water crashes in on them. But Moses, what are you going to do with what you have in your hand? "I'm going to hold it over the waters and watch the salvation of the Lord." Yeah, I'll take a look at that. The next one is in Exodus chapter 17. You're familiar with this story where they continued their journey after the Red Sea on the way to the Promised Land, or really Mount Sinai. And here they thirst for water. In Exodus chapter 17, I'm going to begin at verse 1. "So then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness according to the commandment of the Lord. They camped in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses. He said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?' The people thirsted there for water, complained against Moses." And again, the phrase, "Why did you bring us out here out of Egypt that we're going to die? Why'd you do that?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What am I going to do with these people? Some of them want to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the rod." "Your rod," says, "with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I'll stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. You'll strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, called the name of the place Massa or Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Oh, sometimes we get that way, don't we? But what do you have in your hand? Moses, what am I going to do with these people? You use what you have. Use what you have. That's all I can do. Use my talent, my ability. That's what I'm accountable for. The next story is when in the battle of Amalek. Still in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. All right. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. So it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone, put it under him, sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses, what can you do in the battle? I can take the rod that I have in my hand and hold it up. And as long as it's held up with my arms, we win. We win. But one time, Moses takes the rod of God and he uses it on his own. It's in Numbers chapter 20. Still on their way to the promised land. And he's penalized because of that. In the book of Numbers, change the book. Book of Numbers, chapter 20. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness. First month, people stayed in Kadesh. Miriam died there, was buried there. There was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against, naturally, complain. Let's go to Moses again. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. The people contended with Moses and spoke. Oh, here we've heard this again. Here's the third time. If only we died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness? We're like animals here that we should die. Why have you made us come out of Egypt? Bring to this evil place. It's not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod. Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes. I speak this time. And it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. He said now to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Well, wait a minute. Back in verse 8, he says, oh, take the rod in your hand, but speak to the rock. Yeah. I want you to speak to the rock this time. So Moses struck the rock twice with his rod, and water did come out abundantly. The congregation, the animals drank. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, because you did not believe me, you didn't hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you, Moses, will not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed, or was hallowed among them. Moses, yeah, take the rod. But this time, even with the rod in your hand, I want you to speak. Moses took the rod as he did the first time, struck the rock twice. No, Moses, didn't want you to strike the rock. I know you have a rod in your hand, but I want you to speak to the rock. But because you didn't obey me, you'll see the land, but you're not going to go in. And here's the last. where Moses dies. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. They're finishing their journey to the promised land. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. Jericho is in the promised land. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, all the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I've caused you," meaning Moses, "to see it with your eyes, but you'll not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. And then Joshua becomes the leader of the Israelites and takes them over the Jordan. So here, the start of our lesson, we see a lesson about what's in your hand. Moses, this is what I want you to do. Oh, I have four excuses, God. No, I want you to go. Just use what you have in your hand. You don't have to use what's in somebody else's hand. Use what's in your hand. And we see Moses using it all these times, but he didn't use it correctly the last time, and he was penalized. A lesson for you and for me: we need to use what we have and use it according to God's design. So that's the lesson. Next week, Lord willing, I'll give you some more Old Testament stories about what other people had in their hand, and then we'll see what we can use in our hand. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, invitation. You're subject to it. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you had that opportunity. You know the good news message. You know the steps, the plan that's acceptable to God. I want you to use what you have in your hand and present yourself before God, God's way. Jesus 16, verses 15 to 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's a message of salvation. Even the message of what do you have in your hand. You have talent, you have opportunity, you have ability. Present yourself before God, God's way. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, let's stand and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. Please come to the front, just simply let your desire be made known while we're singing this song.